Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 353. Welcome back to the program. We've got a great show for you this week. I've got a couple of papers for you. I hope you enjoyed last week's show. In the news this week, I just wanted to mention once more, we redesigned our website a little bit, more streamlined, a little bit more contemporary, that is, just in design. We started to really go more by what people call us, that is WCY Podcast, rather than Whence Came You, but of course, we're always Whence Came You. And just another big shout out to everybody out there who has picked up the book, It's Business Time, a book that was written by myself and Brother John T. Ruark, where we have adapted some of the best business tactics, ideas, policies, and adapted them to the model of Freemasonry. So huge thanks to people out there picking that book up. Again, you can get it right off the website. So if you go to wcypodcast.com, and it's right there on the sidebar. You can get it in print or in Kindle, so that's great. We've got those options, but also it's coming in Audible as well. Stay tuned for that. If you want an autographed copy of it, go to WCY Podcast and click on the limited edition shop and scroll to the bottom, and you can order it right there. Of course, I'm not Amazon Prime, so I have to charge shipping to get them to you. This week was really nice. I actually read a great article in the Knight Templar magazine. I said, I got to read this on the program. So I reached out to the author, and he said, yeah, sure, go ahead and read it. And he wanted me to make sure that I gave proper credit also to Brother Coyle. He says that there's a whole page, and most of it is a verbatim quote. And so he wanted to just make sure that I knew to give proper attribution to Brother Coyle for his work there too. But Brother George Ladd, who's a past master and current sitting secretary treasurer of Tennessee Lodge of Research, I just found the article great. And so he gave us permission. We reached out to the Knight Templar magazine, and our brothers there also gave us permission. So that's great. In the show notes, we'll make sure we link back to the magazine's homepage. But also, if you have the app, I'll have the PDF right there in the app as a bonus feature. So feel free to pull that out and read it in Lodge if you'd like, or in Chapter, or maybe at your commandery. So we'll go ahead and get right into that right now. So here we go. Origin of the Royal Arch, Highest of the High Degrees by Sir Knight George C. Ladd. The Royal Arch degree is like Masonry itself. Its origin is covered in darkness, and its history is, to a great extent, obscure. In my opinion, it is the most important degree of all Masonic degrees and orders beyond the third, for it is in this degree that the true word is disclosed to worthy companions. Whence cometh this important degree? Did it exist from time immemorial? The answer very much depends on one's belief about the third degree. Brother Harry Carr, past longtime secretary of England's premier research lodge, Quattuor Coronati, Lodge No. 2076, has stated, quote, "In the course of my lecture duties and the further I go, the more astonished I am to see how many brethren believe quite genuinely that our Masonic ritual comes straight from heaven, directly into the hands of King Solomon. They are all quite certain that it was in English, of course, because that is the only language they speak up there, in heaven. They are equally certain that it was all engraved on two tablets of stone, so that, heaven forbid, not one single word should ever be altered, and most of them are quite certain that King Solomon, in his own lodge, practiced the same rituals as they do in theirs." Harry Carr. In a lecture given by Brother Carr to the Long Beach, California Valley of the Scottish Rite, he largely substantiates the view outlined by the Scottish Rite scholar Arturo de Hoyos in the Scottish Rite Ritual Monitor and Guide, that in 1717, when the Grand Lodge of England was established, there were only two degrees, Entered Apprentice and Fellowcraft. De Hoyos writes, quote, "Yet early documents include hints of a separate, higher honor bestowed even before the creation of the Grand Lodge. The Trinity College Dublin manuscript of 1711 recognizes Master Masons as possessed of their own secrets. This mark of distinction superseded the Fellowcraft degree and developed into a new, quote-unquote, high degree. As we read that on May 12, 1725, Brother Charles Cotton received the Master Mason degree. It is not known who the authors of the new Master Mason ritual were, or how this transformation occurred. It may even be that different locales maintain different traditions connected with the higher honor, as at least two distinct but related tales survive." End quote. These two tales are the Noachite legend and that of Hiram Abiff, the latter first appearing in Samuel Pritchard's 1730 expose, Masonry Dissected. De Hoyo states, quote, both Hiram and Noah are mentioned in the medieval old charges. These charges, the earliest of which, the Regis manuscript, dates to 1390, also include other material which may have inspired the legends of other, quote-unquote, higher degrees. De Hoyos, 7273. For more information on this view of the evolution of the third degree based solely on the verifiable evidence, see 600 Years of the Craft Ritual by Harry Carr in 2006, Proceedings of the Tennessee Lodge of Research, or Google 600 Years of the Craft Ritual to find Brother Carr's lecture on the subject. When I seek evidence-based information on masonry that is not colored by unacknowledged speculation, I reach for Coyle's Masonic Encyclopedia. Henry Wilson Coyle states that, in all probability, not more than one craft degree was inherited by the Premier Grand Lodge from a prior era. Quote, they, the craft degrees, were a development rather than the work of any identifiable ritual committee, and these quite as much say as may be called the free or private enterprise of interested and zealous Freemasons. The constitutions of 1723 fixed the degrees at that time as two. The third was not to appear until 1725, and then not by way of official announcement or requirement. We are actually without knowledge that the Grand Lodge was itself instrumental in the addition of the master's degree. It placed some slight restrictions upon the fellowcraft degree, requiring it to be conferred in Grand Lodge or by dispensation until 1725, when those limitations were somewhat but not entirely removed. The Master Mason degree was virtually a side degree, circulating for 13 to 15 years without the slightest official recognition of the Grand Lodge. No additional Masonic standing was attendant upon that degree until the publication of the Constitutions of 1738. In the early 1700s, confusion ruled Masonic degrees, even among well-regulated lodges. Some conferred but one degree, some two, but very few three, because the third degree was supposed to be worked in a master's lodge. As if by deliberate intent, the master's degree, when finally familiar to the fraternity, was found to be manifestly incomplete. Hope was deferred, and one who sought the ultimate secret of Freemasonry was given a substitute. Bear in mind what some call the secret word, other jurisdictions call the substitute word. How could there have been a better demonstration of the propriety of a fourth degree to do for the third what the third had promised to do for the second? It is no wonder, then, that the oration of Chevalier Andrew Michael Ramsay at Paris in 1737 produced more degrees. One of the principal functions of these high degrees was to supply the deficiency of the third degree, to disclose the true word and ultimate secret of Freemasonry, end quote. In this lecture given by Ramsay, he claimed that, quote, the secrets of Freemasonry included the passwords of the military camps in Palestine and the other founded in great antiquity, united with the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, following the example of the Israelites in the erection of the Second Temple, who, whilst they handled the trowel and mortar in one hand and in the other, a sword and buckler. He said that lodges were founded throughout Europe and the British Isles by kings and princes upon the return from the Crusades, end quote. Ramsay asserted that, quote, the famous festivals of Ceres at Eleusis, of Isis in Egypt, of Minerva at Athens, of Urania amongst the Phoenicians, and of Diana in Scythia were connected with those of Freemasons, and those mysteries concealed many vestiges of the ancient religion of Noah and the patriarchs, end quote. Within 3 years after Ramsay's pronouncement, superior degrees were being produced by the score, so that within 10 or 12 years, whole rites containing as many as 25 regular and recognized degrees were current in France and in the process of migrating over Europe. One of these high degrees, the Scottish Master degree, related to the removal of rubbish of the First Temple to lay the foundations for the Second, in the course of which the Mason Knights, working with trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, came to an aperture leading to an underground vault or a crypt, usually under the ninth arch, wherein was discovered a cubicle or white stone of metal plate or a triangle, upon which appeared the ultimate great Masonic secret, the possession of which by the Scottish Masters rendered them superior to other Master Masons and constituted the Scottish Master degree, a capitular or predominant grade that describes the essence of the Royal Arch working in both the York and Scottish Rites. The two principal remnants of this class of degree bear different titles, Royal Arch, York, and Royal Arch of Solomon, Scottish. Another peculiarity is that although few of the French high grades migrated to the British Isles, the Royal Arch, Knight Templar, Knight of Malta, Prince of Jerusalem, Red Cross, and Royal Order of Scotland not only crossed the English Channel, but became known as the York Rite. W. L. Cummings of New York makes the interesting observation that the Royal Arch seems to have arisen independently, but almost simultaneously in France and England, both telling the same story, but with different legends. In England, it is based on the alleged discovery of a secret vault built by King Solomon under the Sanctum Sanctorum of the First Temple at Jerusalem. In France, it was based on the legend of an arch built by Enoch, and in one ultimately embraced by the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite as the 13th degree. There has been a great deal of prejudicial writing about the relation of the Royal Arch to the Master Mason degree, such as the repeated statements of Lawrence Dermot that the Royal Arch was the root, heart, and marrow of Masonry, which was both poor metaphor and doubtful appraisal of the theory championed by Dr. George Oliver and others down to the recent times that the Royal Arch was formerly the concluding section of the master's degree, but was lopped off by Thomas Dunkerley or someone else, thereby destroying the York Rite. No such accomplishment occurred or could have been performed. There is no evidence that the Royal Arch was ever a part of the Master Mason degree or any other craft degree until 1813, when the United Grand Lodge of England declare the Holy Royal Arch to be included in the third degree. The ancients, whose pride and joy it, the Royal Arch degree, was, clearly described it as a fourth degree, per Ahiman Rezin, 1813, page 106. It was always a supplementary degree conferred in the ancient lodges or in chapters appertenant thereto. The Royal Arch degree and the degree of past master became associated through the fact that the Royal Arch degree was so highly prized by the ancients that they required a candidate for the degrees to be one who had, quote-unquote, regularly and faithfully attained the three progressive degrees and hath passed the chair. At first, it was conceived that only masters of lodges could fulfill the conditions, but that strict interpretation soon gave way to the practice of passing the candidate through the chair in a ceremony similar to the installation service, thus creating a virtual past master qualified for the Royal Arch. The modern lodges never countenanced either the Royal Arch or the past master degree. There can be little doubt that the Royal Arch was conferred at York, England for several years before it was first heard of there in 1744 and, hence, must have arrived in the first wave of French high degrees, Coil 200-202. In a separate article regarding Royal Arch Masonry in general, Coyle gives the following hard evidence regarding the Royal Arch degree. Quote, "The Royal Arch degree is distinctly of the French cryptic or secret vault ineffable type. It appeared about the same time as the other high grades. The first known intimation of it being found in Faulkner's Dublin Journal for January 12 to 14 in 1743, which reported that Young Hall Lodge No. 21 celebrated St. John's Day with a parade in which there was the Royal Arch carried by two excellent masons. In 1744, Fifield Dassingly published at Dublin a book entitled A Serious and Impartial Inquiry into the Cause of the Present Decay of Freemasonry in the Kingdom of Ireland, in which, speaking of York, England, he said, quote, "I am informed in that city is held an assembly of the Master Masons under the title of Royal Arch Masons, who, as their qualification and excellencies are superior to others, they receive a larger pay than working Masons," end quote. Lawrence Dermot, longtime secretary of the ancient Grand Lodge of England, asserted that he had received the Royal Arch degree in Ireland in 1746. The foregoing are the only known references, these three references, to the degree prior to 1752, although for about 10 years prior to that date, the degree seems to have been conferred on past masters of York, London, and Dublin. The first Masonic record referring to the Royal Arch degree is in the minutes of the Grand Committee for the Organization of the Ancient Grand Lodge, March 4, 1752. The first unquestioned minutes of a lodge recording the conferring of the Royal Arch degree are those of the lodge at Fredericksburg, Virginia, for December 22, 1753. Brothers Daniel Campbell, Robert Halkerston, and Alexander Wardron were raised to the degree of Royal Arch Mason, Royal Arch Lodge being shut and an apprentice's lodge opened. Coil 575, 576. There are a number of Masons who believe, contrary to what Brother Coyle has laid out, that our rituals derive from the Knights Templar. This case was made in the book Born in Blood by John Robinson. Two scholars whom I respect subscribe to this view, although they do not rely on Brother Robinson to support it. One reason I agree with Coyle is that every step of the way during the recorded history of Masonry there have been exposures of the degrees as they developed. There is no reference to the Knights Templar in connection with Freemasonry in Masonic or any other literature until after Chevalier Ramsey's lecture. I was recently privy to a discussion in which members of a Masonic body that includes research complained of the presentations, I suppose similar to this one, which asserted that the third degree was quote-unquote just made up. In my view, a degree just made up cannot long survive unless it speaks to deep psychological archetypes that resonate within the psyche of the candidate and stirs within his soul universal truths that stimulate his longing for his creator. I assert that you would not go to the trouble of reading this article if this had not happened to you. While I agree with Henry Wilson Coyle's assertions and assessments that I have shared with you, I assert that the third degree and the Royal Arts degree are just made up in so awesome a fashion by well-informed brethren that they accomplish the initiatory function of setting us up on a path of building or rebuilding in our hearts, a temple for the indwelling of God and instilling recognition of the brotherhood of man. Sir Knight George C. Ladd is a past commander of Columbia Commandery 35 in Columbia, Tennessee, presently a member of DePayne's Commandery 11 in Franklin, Tennessee, and a Grand Treasurer of the Grand Commandery of Tennessee. He resides in Williamsport, Tennessee, and can be contacted at glad32@hughes.net. He also lists his references there. I hope you enjoyed that. I find the article absolutely wonderful in the way it exposes a couple of different viewpoints on the origin of the high degree of the Holy Royal Arch. So in the show notes, I'll link back to the website. You can download the magazine right there, or you can download it right from the app if you're listening on Podcast Source. And then you can get in there and you can contact him at the email address if you'd like. Before we go any further in the program, I just want to take a moment to let everybody know how we make this show happen. So, of course, if you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can make a direct donation through PayPal, whether it's a one-time donation of 50 cents or a dollar or whatever it is. It all goes into the kitty that just pays all the bills to make sure that every episode is available for everybody who wants to catch the show. This show reaches millions of people all over the world who are interested in Freemasonry, and in many cases, this show and other Masonic podcasts is the impetus or the reason they join these shows, these educational topics, these papers that we read, the discussions we have, give men that final little push to say, yep, it's time to join. And so by helping to support the show, you're assisting in that effort. We also have a subscription, a monthly model, where you can donate either $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. That will also further enable us to meet all of the goals that we have and to keep making things better, to pay for the website, to make sure that we have the best quality audio that we can bring, and in general, just to make sure that we continue to make this show week after week, month after month, and year after year. So consider checking that out. But also, if you're somebody who maybe you want to get a little something for your donation, if you're on WCYpodcast.com, we also have a limited edition shop where there are some items in there that you can purchase, which also go back to help the program. But more importantly, if you're looking for something else, we do have a few great relationships with a few different places. Of course, we have Banker's Best, Brother Levi Banker, who is in the game of making just the best kind of men's grooming products, things like beard oils and balms and the like. He, of course, has come out with King Solomon's Reserve Beard Oil and balm. It's something that we worked on together. He asked if we would do something and do kind of a cross promotion, and we came up with this idea. And what I love about it is it's pretty historically accurate. So it's an original beard oil balm recipe, and my request was that Brother Levi actually make it so that it is made using the same kind of ingredients that would have been available in King Solomon's time and location. So they do black fig and honey that give the trusted formula a rich and luxurious scent, and Levi says it's truly fit for our first Grand Master. But it is a fantastic product. Everything the guy makes is just amazing. It's all handmade stuff. He puts it all together. Brilliant guy, and he only puts out quality stuff. So check it out, WCYpodcast.com. Click on more, then click on Banker's Best and you'll see the details. Now, if you get anything from King Solomon's Reserve beard oil or balm, he donates 50% of the profits of the product back to the show. And anything else you buy, use the promo code for yourself, BBWCY357. That's Banker's Best, whence came you, 357. Brother Levi helps us out by donating a little bit back to the program. So you get something, you're helping out a Masonic business, and you're helping out this program. So we've also got Onnit Labs, so famous for Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein, a couple of the products that I've used for years. Love this stuff. Check that out. Read all about it on the website there. You'll get 10% off if you order through our links. Use the promo code WCY. I can't say enough about Alpha Brain. It's pretty awesome stuff. What I love about it, no caffeine, promotes things like lucid dreaming, heightened awareness. It's good stuff. You'll like it. And, of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention Intellectual Linear Progression. They're going to have more classes starting up really soon. So if you're interested in that, please check it out. They've got a great thing here right now on their website, limited time offer. Study Plato with them for only $9. Download a digital edition of Plato's classic and get a taste of the online Great Books program with their special offer. So that's pretty cool. You got to check their website out. Listen to the podcast, listen to Brother Scott Hambrick, talk a little bit about the program. If you are interested, but you're not quite sure, I would ask that you go back and check out episode 343, 10 episodes back, and it's about the Great Books program. We actually had Scott Hambrick on, fantastic episode, and he even tells you, get into this program, even if you don't use his program, it's amazing. So definitely check that out. I think you all will enjoy that episode. And maybe you're going to be into the Intellectual Linear Progression Great Books program. And for that, use your promo code WCY as well. You'll get 3 months each month. You'll get $25 off. So that's it for me telling you about how to support the show. Let's get into our next piece. So just before we move on to the next piece, I found a great piece, which is called The Tao by Lao Tzu, and it actually goes through an enumeration of small poem-like scriptural readings, and it's from 1 to 81, and I'm not going to read them all, but maybe perhaps over the next, I don't know, few years, we might read one per episode and see where we get. There is a lot of information contained in these, and I think that they're pretty cool. So just for the first one, we'll just read from the Tao number 1. Which says, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source, but differ in name. This appears as darkness. Darkness within darkness. The gate to all mystery. And for the last piece this week, I have a bit of a tribute. We're going to read this piece, which was originally published August 27th, 2014. Pancakes or Waffles by Midnight Freemason guest contributor, Brother Tech. It is no secret that we Freemasons love our pancake breakfasts. There are a score of pancake breakfast-related memes on the internet, and it is a very common joke amongst Freemasons. I often get a kick out of the pancake breakfasts being put on by lodges. My lodge does 2 a year, like clockwork, and other nearby lodges do them once a month to once a week. Because I have always been amused by stereotypes specifically when people fulfill them. The stereotype of the Freemason, putting aside the we secretly rule the world to place the population in service to our reptoid overlords conspiracy junk, is a bunch of old men washing dishes after a pancake breakfast. At my lodge, we have a fairly old gas stove oven. I'd call it ancient, but I wouldn't want to offend any members of the lodge who remember when it was brand new. My job, since becoming a Freemason, has been to heat up the sausage that we serve with our pancakes. Of all the jobs, I prefer this one, as it lets me work without moving about all morning, and I can have a quick moment to say hello to guests without having an option to engage in idle chit-chat. I'm an introvert who likes the concept of people far more than the finished product. So I feed into the stereotype and enjoy it quite a bit. I should remark, I don't enjoy it at all while I'm doing it. I get there insanely early, having to get up even earlier to make that half-hour drive to the lodge then sit in front of a hot oven making myself smell of sausage and sweat for a few hours, then I help clean up. But what I enjoy, and what makes it worth it, is talking to the folks of my lodge without being in the formal meeting setting. Even more, listening to the members talk to one another freely, not bound by the restrictions of the official meetings. For those non-Masons, there are certain topics that we are forbidden to discuss during Open Lodge meetings. A second thing that is no secret is the pancakes are generally round, whereas waffles can be square. I'll give you a moment to recover from that revelation. In Masonry, the circle is a representation of a person's mind or soul, whereas the square is a representation of the body or the physical world. I have sometimes wondered why we don't offer waffles, not just for the symbolism, but also because I prefer them to pancakes. Waffles hold syrup better, plus they are much easier surfaces for the spreading of peanut butter. Don't knock it until you've tried it. Now, I would wager that 100% of the reason for waffles not making the appearance is that we don't have a waffle maker, but the symbol-loving part of me finds it interesting that I eat round pancakes, and even that my body dislikes them, but my mind and my soul enjoy. Brother Tech. He is the author of A Christian's Perspective on Masonic Symbols, the Square, and Compasses. He's an active member in the craft, loved motorcycles, and prefers to remain anonymous. And for people who don't know, Brother Tech recently passed away just this last week. And so I thought it would be fitting to read a piece that he did for us on the Midnight Freemasons as we say goodbye.
Greetings, friends and brethren. My name is Bill Hosler. I'm a past master at Three Rivers Lodge number 733 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm also a regular contributor of the Midnight Freemasons. Brethren, the fifth degree of the Scottish Rite in the southern jurisdiction, the Perfect Master, reminds each of us that tomorrow is not guaranteed to any man, and that we as Scottish Rite Masons should always be prepared to leave this earth to visit the Celestial Lodge above, and to have our affairs in order. It even encourages us to have a will prepared. This degree has been weighing heavy on my mind for the last 24 hours. A few years ago, a friend of mine, who I met through Freemasonry, decided that he wanted to start writing Masonic. And I encouraged him to do such, but he had an unusual problem that many of us don't have to endure. He was attending a college, and the college was a very strict religious college. And if they would have found out that he was a Freemason, he would have been expelled from that school. But he couldn't write under his real name. So he chose a non-diplome or a pen name. Since the man was a loved motorcycle and he loved Tech, he decided to call himself Brother Tech, which was his nickname in the motorcycle club that he belonged to. So Brother Tech began to write, and he wrote some beautiful things. He was very devout in his Christianity, and he tried to use Masonic symbols to talk about Christian subjects. He even wrote a short book that he put on Kindle, and I remember he was so amazed that anybody actually even bought the book. It wasn't the number or the money that made it. Actually, somebody wanted to read what he'd written. And he started a author's page on Facebook. And for years, no one knew who was the person behind it. At one point, he decided that just in case, after thinking about this fifth degree, that he should have someone else be an administrator on this site, just in case. You never know, tomorrow's not sure to any of us, he told me. And so he made me an admin of this site. And we started promoting much of our writings, Masonic Radio Theater, Midnight Freemasons. Also, I believe we also promote Vince Came You podcast on there. And after a while, you know, as life gets for any of us, we begin to get busy and we can't continue our writing. And he kind of trailed off. He'd write now and then, but he still had the passion. He just didn't have the time. And I made a promise to him that I would not reveal who this person was unless he passed away, because I figured no one could hurt him then. And so, brethren, it's my sad duty to inform you that Brother Tech, his real name was Lance Cates. And because of his job, he had to use a non-diplome on Facebook of Frank Rook, has passed away as of yesterday. As of right now, no one knows the cause, and there's nothing being said right now. But Brother Tech has slipped to the Celestial Lodge above. I know that he was comforted by his Christian faith, and I know that he's in a better place, and I know that it's just mostly just my own selfishness that's breathing right now. And I am really debating whether we continue to use Brother Ted for the purposes we use, or just archive it as a remembrance, and I haven't came to a decision yet. But I think that as most of what things that Lance did, he was a Freemason throughout now. He didn't just know the words through rituals. He didn't just study. He lived them. He was a Freemason. He was born a Freemason in his heart, and he walked that way in his daily life. And I think he'd be surprised at all the outpouring of sympathy that he's receiving right now. He probably think it wasn't deserved, but brethren, I guess this is just another way that Lance can teach us one last allegory before his passing of the Celestial Lodge, is to remember that no man is assured tomorrow. I'm sure he went to sleep thinking that he'd get up tomorrow and he'd continue to his job and his work and taking care of his mother, but it wasn't meant to be. The Spring Architect called him home. So, brethren, love your family. Take care of your affairs. And live each day as God would want you to, and as you said you would on that altar. Forgive me for my crying. I know he'd be mad, but I'm sorry. I'm a mere mortal. Just take this one small teaching that he left us and get your affairs in order and continue to work on your ash life until we meet. This is Bill Hostler. Say goodbye, Lance. And see you later.
And that's it. Stay in the level, guys. We'll talk to you next week.